Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We're going to try and complete the picture now with just the whole world of concerts and what's been going on musically during the year. Here in the studio to my left is Pat Carty, who is a well-known arts and music journalist. As he said, he's finding it, having a brat summer, as he describes himself. Totally. I'm just picturing things that may not be good, but brat summer 2024. This was a massive year for music because we've talked about the concert thing. I don't know if you heard our panel earlier on talk about how much dynamic pricing and Oasis is telling everyone to take the hub.
It's a big story, yeah.
Like, so since we've come out of COVID, it's been just huge demand. Everyone's on the road. If you're not on the road, we know that downloads are sort of slightly on the way, and so they're having to make the money back over on the concert front. There's music festivals coming out of our ears. I've got to ask you this strange question. Is there too much music around?
I don't think there could ever be that. I mean, because I'd be out of work if there wasn't any knocking around. I mean, what you're talking about there, coming out of COVID, I suppose, bands have to be constantly on the road because, as you say, downloads, even if they get a load of them or Spotify plays and everything, they're worth nothing to them, really. You know, you have to be at Beyonce's level or something like that or Taylor Swift for it to make economic sense. So they have to be out in the road. So there has to be concerts all the time. Are there too many festivals? There are an awful lot. Wait till you get to the summer. There seems to be one every weekend. And, you know, and some fall by the wayside and some keep going. You know, you'll have Electric Picnic is there every year altogether now. All the big ones will be there. But, you know, I mean, the demand is there for tickets. I mean, say for Taylor Swift was the big concert visitor this year. She played three nights in the Aviva. Tickets were like, they were like gold dust. They replaced gold as the kind of currency in Ireland. She is her own
Forget Bitcoin.
She is kind of almost her own economy. I mean, her Eras tour, which that was part of, is just finished up. Now, it played 149 shows across five continents. And I presume it was only five continents because she couldn't find any more to just go and play. It's a bit like Alexander, I suppose, weeping that there was no
worlds
to conquer. But she played eight nights at Wembley Stadium. And the tour is the first $2 billion tour ever.
So is she overexposed?
Well, I don't
think so. What I mean by that is, like, could she go out on the road again next summer and get the same amount?
Absolutely she could. Like, look at, say, more my, I suppose, cup of tea would be Bruce Springsteen was here and played four nights around the country, Belfast, Kilkenny, Cork and Dublin. But he was here and he played four or five nights.
He seems to be here every summer.
And he'd cancelled a few. He had some ill health during the year, so he cancelled a few shows in Europe.
Yeah, his wife has been, Patty has been back.
As well, yeah. So he's coming back to do those.
Where do you sit on the Oasis thing? Right, obviously they've had loads of publicity. They're playing in the calendar year approaching. Mm. The tickets are extraordinarily expensive. A lot of people were sort of surprised by the Oasis thing in the sense they were kind of but it was kind of like they're a conventional rock band with two guitars and a set of drums. So they almost were like a throwback for a certain generation.
Yeah,
did it catch you by surprise, or did you think it would be that?
No, thing? I mean because they'd held out for so long. I mean, obviously, you know, you could get very cynical and say, well, Noel Gallagher got divorced at the start of last year, so suddenly he was much more conducive to going back out on the road with his brother, which he said he'd never do. But Liam played here this year and played in the Three Arena, celebrating their first album, Definitely Maybe. And it was a fantastic show. And you were coming out of it thinking, but sure, he doesn't need to do this. So, the idea that there was so much demand, first of all, I think it was built up over time. They played the market brilliantly with the hype that was coming up. I mean, when people queuing for hours, well, you know, virtually queuing, it's not the same as it used to be for us in the rain outside HMV and Grafton Street, but, you know, sitting at home, and then they were told that wherever, I mean, you discussed this earlier, you were told whatever amount of money there were, that left a bad taste, you know, because they were always supposed to be this working class band, and that obviously was proved to be a load of hoo-ha, you know, once the Rolls Royce is in the driveway. But I wasn't surprised by it. And I think they could have done.
I see now, like Led Zeppelin are now doing this sort of
documentary.
So all these
bands. Do you remember when they got back together for one show in the O2?
Yeah, it was like a mini Oasis.
And there was something like 72 million applications for tickets. And for whatever number.
You know, I wondered if you would you make even more money the less you concert, the less you are out there. So if you're a very regular artist like a Bruce Springsteen, you're out there all the time, would you be better just disappearing for 5 years and then saying, I'm back?
I suppose. I mean, I think with Oasis, because there's so few gigs, it seemed to be that they were, listen, we're going to do this many gigs and the thing to do is to make absolutely as much money as possible out of as little work as possible. That's, now I'm being very cynical and yeah. I don't doubt the gigs would be great.
And what's the story then? You don't have U2 at all, right? They're said to be doing a new album or something. It's all very vague.
Well, they did
Coldplay have swept into their hometown during the summer and dominated, took Coldplay out, right?
Yeah.
So if you're U2, are you saying, God, we've been sort of displaced a bit by Coldplay?
I think the thing with U2, first of all, you have to take into account that Larry Mullen is still kind of out of action. Health-wise, as far as I know, anyway. And what he was in the paper recently saying, listen, we're working on stuff and we're hoping to be out in the road in 2026. Now, with someone like that, it's kind of like, it's almost like a war campaign. Do you know what I mean? It has to be built up in
such a way. You can't just turn it on. Yeah, there's a build-up period.
They did the thing in Las Vegas, which I was lucky enough to be at. And it was... you know, it was an incredible show.
Oh,
and
fair, yeah.
Yeah, and we'd never seen anything like it before. So the pressure's on them. How do you top that? You know? And also...
But if you're an Irish U2 fan, you're saying, I don't care about the Sphere. I didn't know this. So when am I going to see U2?
What they could do is, I suppose, is they could just announce tomorrow, listen, we're doing a greatest hits tour and we're going to play Crow Park for 7 nights. And I bet you they could get away with it. But for them, it seems to be the case that they want to have something. They want to stay kind of as a working band, so they want to have a record behind it. It seems to be the way they want.
They want a new album that's fresh.
They could go out
and
do. They could do an Oasis.
There's plenty of demand there, is what you're saying.
Listen, we're going to go out and do the Joshua Tree and Acton Baby, and should sell by the truckload.
Now, the Wolf Tones, how many times have they retired?
Well, there you go. They're still retiring. They're in the process. It's a bit Sinatra.
Until the next one,
I suppose. Well, I mean, the thing was, right? Like, not
do you think people could approach it a bit cynically and say, these guys keep saying they're retiring and then they pop up again?
Well, sure, if someone offered me the money to do
that. I don't stop saying you're retiring,
you know? I wasn't going to come in today, but sure, I mean, I got offered
a huge check. I like the analogy, you're a Wolf Tone, right?
Like, Wolf Tones, like, not this year's Electric Picnic, but last year, Melvin Benn, the guy who owns the whole thing, I mean, we all thought he was taking a huge risk putting them on in the Electric Arena, which is one of the big tents. And the crowd was, everybody saw the pictures that were in the paper, the crowd was phenomenal. Now, he moved them up to the main stage this year, and the crowd matched, I wasn't at it, but I was told the crowd matched the time I saw Billie Eilish down there, which was one of the biggest crowds I've ever seen for anything. So, and then they played 3 nights in the Three Arena, and they're playing a couple of stadium gigs next summer. I think that
it's hard to turn the money down, I suppose, isn't it?
Would they do an Oasis and come back in 5 years' time?
Stop, please. Okay.
We're back.
Why do I need to care about the Fontaines?
The Fontaines, right. Well, the Fontaines are kind of the critical darlings at the moment. They released their fourth album, Romance, this year, and they are nominated for Best Rock Album at the Grammys. And they just go from strength to strength critically. I mean, they were held off the number one spot in England by Sabrina Carpenter, which must have rankled a bit. But I think when the Choice Music Prize nominations are out in January, I'd be very surprised if they're not up near
now,
the top.
Now, remember I was saying a few minutes ago that Taylor Swift was overexposed. Here was me. Taylor, you're overexposed.
Well, you said that. No,
yeah,
I didn't.
I'm looking at successors, right? So people who could knock her off her plinth. And I'm going to throw names at you here. You've got Charlie XCX, Chapel Roan. You mentioned Sabrina Carpenter. There's Dua Lipa. Is it Dua Lipa or
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa, sorry. Apologies. So could any one of them...
Guess as good as one
of them. Could any one of them knock her off her...
Well, I think someone like Billie... all these people are behind. Someone like Billie Eilish had her third album come out this year, and that topped the charts in more than 20 countries. And she was... It only got to number 2 in the US, but as a consolation, all 10 of the songs charted in the Billboard Top 100 because of the way it works now with the streaming and everything. So, and she got 7 Grammy nominations. And just as a note of trivia there, the Grammy nomination. Did you know that Jimmy Carter got a Grammy nomination this year?
No, why did he get a Grammy?
And he's the oldest Grammy nominee.
Why did he get for a documentary or something?
No, some audiobook or something. At 100 years old. Anyway, that's worth it.
Another comeback. He's like the Wolf Tones.
But yeah, Sabrina Carpenter. Charlie XCX had a kind of a kind of cultural impact this year with this thing called Brat Summer. And I just noticed there in the paper as well that the Collins English Dictionary have picked brat as their word of the year.
I think you're quite brat, actually.
No, and it's not like brat now. It's not like, you know, when the teacher used to say to you, Jesus,
you're a brat.
It's a different brat. Here's a bit of the wooden spoon. It's not like that at all. It's
well, Kamala Harris was described as brat, but she didn't win. So that's
it's
like
a hedonistic attitude. But National Geographic had an article there recently. Is Cleopatra brat? You know, where they had women from history who were the OG brat girls. And so that's pretty serious.
I actually worried that you know all this sort of stuff.
There you go.
Now, finally, comebacks, they're endless, right? We had the whole mystique, you know, Kate Bush, few years ago, you know, by staying away, she increased her mystique. The Cure, they're still floating around. Did they go away or at all? Or
they were away for years, yeah, and they came back.
And they're back, and they're seen as the best comeback.
Came back with an album, yeah, that was very...
So what do you need to do to be a good comeback as opposed to a painful...
Mystique has kind of gone out. You see, with all these people that we're talking about there, Sabrina Carpenter and Charlie XCX, they're on social media all the time, whereas these bands, when they go away, they go away, you know? So the mystique builds up. Obviously, you want more of what you can't have. You know, I would say, actually, this year, not The Cure. For me, it was the Black Crowes came back, which are a rock and roll band from the 90s and made a great album, but nobody else cared about
it. I wonder,
that.
Should U2 do the Mystique thing then?
Well, they
just, disappear and go, well, you know.
U2 did put out a box set in October and put out new stuff that was recorded, new, I'm using inverted commas, that was recorded 20 years ago. That was very good. And that did quite well critically. But, I mean, with The Cure, I think they have that, well, U2 have that as well. They have that huge built-in fan
base. But I'm told that The Cure is basically just Robert Smith.
Ah, yeah.
Really? No disrespect to the drummer. And the
yeah, but what's wrong with that?
That's no.
But if he like, think about Robert Smith sitting at home in his gothic mansion, probably. He's saying, listen, I'll put out an album under the name Robert Smith. And the manager probably goes, no, don't do that. Call it, even if nobody else is on it, call it The Cure. That'd be the way it works.
Beyonce, obviously, some people would say Taylor Swift has slightly displaced her. I'm sure she would strongly contest that. But she went in this country direction. Yeah. Some people loved it. Some people thought it was awful. Some people were in the middle. Mm. Is that sort of over now and she's on to the next thing? Or is she going to kind of ride that tiger a bit longer?
Well, she was talking about it as a kind of series of albums that were to shine a light on African-American contribution to American roots music, which is... But the album itself, I mean, is a strange old thing. It's... Willie Nelson turns up on it as a kind of a DJ. It's constructed.
Well, he's giving her credibility
as a radio station kind of thing. Yeah. So he comes on and he's talking. He's saying, "Oh, you're listening to the Willie Smoke Hour, and you know what to do and all this." And then Dolly Parton turns up then a bit later, and she's talking away, saying how great Beyonce is. And then Beyonce does a cover of Jolene, which is pretty good actually. It had a huge effect on country music in general because it drove an awful lot of. It said 36 million people streamed country music for the first time because of that album. Now, I think Taylor Swift has a lot to do with that as well. But, I mean, like, look at Zach Bryan. Does that name mean anything to you?
No, but I wouldn't read much into that.
Well, Zach Bryan is after selling out two nights in the Phoenix Park next summer, and he's booked for a third one as well. And I, like a lot of people, at least I think like a lot of people, had to look up who he was. So country music is taken over, and that has a bit to do with it. Certainly Beyonce and Taylor Swift.
But will the problem be she'll just move on to the next genre and then they'll
be
there?
Good news.
But it's a temporary thing. In other words, it's not going to...
I suppose if I was a blues musician or something, I'd be praying to God that she picks blues next or something like that, because then I get a few...
You've got a very oblique part at the end of your notes here. It just says Rory Gallagher's guitar.
Yeah, well, that was a big story here because Rory Gallagher's guitar went on sale. His Strat that he bought in 1963 for £100, persuaded his ma to do a higher purchase for £100 in 1963, went on sale, was sold for just short of £900,000. But the good news is it's been donated to the National Museum of Ireland. So it's planned that the guitar will be exhibited as part of Changing Ireland, a new permanent exhibition at Collins Barracks. And, of course, it'll also be exhibited in Cork because it would have to be.
Yeah, I was amazed. I did not know about that he was part of the show band era when Adam Clayton broke himself.
He told his ma.
Did you know about that part of his career?
Yeah, that's where he really learnt his business. He told his ma when she was going, £100, that's ridiculous. He says, well, look, it's this kind of guitar that I can play rhythm and lead at the same time, so I'll get two wages. So that's how I'll pay it off.
It seemed to work out. Maybe he should join the Wolf Tones if he forgive his guitar there.
He couldn't help but improve them anyway, that's for sure.
Listen, thank you very much, Pat. A great year. You'll have loads of concerts. Probably not quite as big as 2024, but there's a lot of stuff in the can. Oasis, of course, a centrepiece for that, no matter how much they cost. It's great for you. You've a great time. Long may it continue. So, Pat Carty, thank you very
much.
Thanks and I'm now surrounded by music, literally surrounded.
This would be my new highlight music.
Yeah, you're going to get some real live music here. So, we're not talking about... downloads here. This is the real deal. Where is Orla?
Here I am.
Oh, right. Okay.
How are you?
Just to give the listeners an idea, we have a lot of musicians around. We have guitars, we have singers. Everyone here is going to do something, presumably, in the next few minutes. So I don't know who's going to do what or whatever. I just see lots of people. Orla, you're from the Dublin Gospel Choir musical director.
Yeah.
Busy Christmas?
Very busy Christmas. Yeah, we love Christmas time because it's absolute chaos, isn't it? It's all go every day. But it's fantastic. We've been through a range of kind of theatre shows, which are fantastic.
And all the voices are in good order?
we tend to all drop them.
I have lockets if anyone
needs them. We could be sponsored by lockets at this point. So yeah, people
so
start start dropping
what
through the
your, what happens in your game if somebody has got a bit of a cold or flu or whatever?
Oh, it's literally send in the recruits. Like, it's okay. Literally, there's a constant stream. There's about 60 of us. So
you must
there's always
of,
someone you must red get in the wings.
WhatsApp messages going, sorry, bad news.
No, oh yeah, I spent my life going, you know, and that's no problem. Mind yourself and I hope you feel better soon. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah.
But it's great. No, like everyone works really, really hard. Like,
I've got all these other talents apart from my voice and you're going, well, a voice is kind of, we
kind of the one we
part.
Want.
Yeah, we
yeah.
Need that part. Yeah.
Exactly, so, yeah.
You're all but, this man beside me has a guitar, so he's got other things he can fall back on, right?
I'm not much of a singer at all.
Okay, as you knew that from the start. Listen, we're going to try and sample everything. So, Orla, could you get us up and running and tell us what we're going to hear and then let the folks go ahead?
So we are going to sing a bit of a classic number for you today. We're going to sing Steve Winwood's Higher Love.
Okay, off we go. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, much better than Steve Winwood's version.
Thank you very much.
He seems very flat. Massive sound generator. Just for listeners' benefit, we have quite a small, compact studio. You guys, I think, have splintered the walls with your voices. Brilliant.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, lovely coordination. And you all move, which is like...
We can't stand still.
Yeah, it's true. There's
an
enthusiasm there. There's an enthusiasm. Brilliant. Well done. It's the right time of the year, I feel, isn't it, for that?
Absolutely.
And really well done. Brilliant. Thank you. Good solo on singing. Yeah, great.
Deirdre,
thank you. Okay, listen, thank you very much. That was,
thanks,
of course, the Dublin
us.
Gospel Choir, musical director Orla Gargan, and the rest of the folks and team. Thank you. Well done. And good luck on the next year ahead. I'm sure you'll have great concerts live.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.